This is Tina Douglas, and you're listening to the Liam Photography Podcast with your host, my husband, Liam Douglas. Enjoy!
Greetings, everybody. You're listening to the Liam Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Liam Douglas, and this is episode 393 for Thursday, March 7th, 2024. And in today's episode, I want to share with you my latest quest, which I call Street Photography on Steroids. So if you've listened to the show for some time now, you know that one of my all-time favorite genres of photography is street photography, and I have always admired the wonderful work of Henri Cartier-Bresson, and his work has always inspired me to go out and do street photography anytime I have the free time to do so. Around 10 days ago, Fujifilm North America was nice enough to send me a GF 45mm f2.8 lens for my GFX50R. To try it out and do a review on it for my YouTube channel. Now that review will be out this coming Sunday. Now the GF 45mm is the same field of view as a 35mm lens on a full frame camera, which makes it perfect for street photography, since 35mm is the king of focal lengths for this type of work. With the f2.8 aperture, you can also do street in fairly low light, early in the morning or late in the afternoon and into early evening. Generally, when I do street photography, I want to be discreet and not draw attention to the fact that I am taking photos, so I can get more candid shots of people on the street. And with the GFX 50R being so large in comparison to my normal X100V that I use for street photography, you're probably thinking, you can't possibly be discreet with that huge camera. When in reality, it is fairly easy to be discreet with this camera, as I generally will keep the 50R hanging low on a neck strap closer to my waist, and then use the flip screen to get my shots more discreetly. Basically, I treat the 50R like it was an old Rolleiflex twin reflex camera that had the viewfinder on top, and you had to look down into it to shoot. Now, you'd be surprised how easy you can be discreet when you're using this method to do street photography. And most people won't pay you any mind at all, as they have no idea that they are being photographed. By using a smaller aperture, you can easily get the entire scene and the people in sharp focus and not worry about that much at all. I mean, generally, you want to shoot wide street shots the same way you would landscapes. You set your aperture between f4 and f8 and just capture what you see. Now, sure, you can do street using wider apertures as well if you want some separation between your subject and the background. But then you're venturing more into the portrait realm, which is not what I'm trying to do. My goal is to capture candid shots of what's going on around me, just like Bresson did. I want the people on the street to be relaxed and just going about their day. And it's much easier to do that when shooting discreet and using a smaller aperture to have everything in sharp focus. If I come upon, say, a street musician, then I might opt for a wider aperture and get more of a portrait-style shot of them. But then again, those people generally are totally cool with you shooting them while they're playing anyways. Now, I have found that by using the method that I do, even with a larger camera like my 50R, I can still be discreet enough that most people don't realize that I'm photographing them anyways. And I never run into any issues with people being upset that I'm out shooting them on the street, as they never know if I'm shooting them or not. Yes, I do also sometimes raise the camera to my eye for a specific shot, but I've been doing street photography for a few decades now, so I know when to raise the camera to my eye and when not to. For my first foray into street with the GF 45mm 2.8, I decided to visit the North Carolina Museum of Art in Raleigh, which is a bit of a drive from my home, but worth it, as I have lots of nice out. They have lots of nice outdoor sculptures and walking paths to get around the outdoor portion of the museum. There are always a lot of people milling around, especially on the weekends when they are off from work, so you have plenty of subjects to pick and choose from when shooting. And I'm going to post some of these images in the show notes so you can check them out for yourself. Now, when shooting street, I tend to use aperture priority, so I set the aperture I want and then let the camera choose the ISO and shutter speed, as it just makes things easier that way. If I need a little more or less for the exposure, then I can quickly adjust using my exposure compensation dial on the top of the camera to balance things out even more if it's absolutely necessary. Now, aside from the camera settings, I just mill about like everyone else and see what I can shoot. Now, this past weekend, I not only got some good photos of the other guests walking around the museum grounds, but I also managed to capture a young man who stopped at one of the metal sculptures of a cartoon chat bubble, and he laid down in one of them to rest for a bit, and I got a good shot of him laying there without him even noticing. Now, one thing I do try and limit when I shoot street is photographing other people's kids on the street, as I don't want to anger any parents or make them think I'm some creepy dude with a camera. So if I can get the shot ultra discreet, I take the shot. But if not, I don't worry about it as much, as there's always plenty of teens and adults to capture in my images. Now, after my visit to the museum, I also took a little bit of time and went into downtown Raleigh to capture the famous Monster Wall, which is a beautiful mural of cartoon monsters painted on the side of a building, which is just around the corner from the Trophy Brewing Company and Pizza Shop. If you ever make it to Raleigh, I highly recommend visiting the Monster Wall, just because the artwork is beautiful and it's so colorful. But if you want an open shot of the wall, you need to get there super early in the morning on weekends, as a lot of cars tend to park there as well. I had to just bite the bullet and capture as much of the wall as I could along with the cars. But that's the nature of things when you live so far from Raleigh. Now, the Trophy Brewing Company offers some great photo opportunities, as well as they have a large outdoor dining area. So you can usually get some candids of people eating, drinking beers, and just having a good time. I also captured a couple of shots of their large wooden barrels through the windows of the building. And although I didn't have my circular polarizing filter with me at the time, I think they turned out decent anyways. Now, when shooting street, you need to mix it up a bit and not just shoot people on the street going about their lives. I love to also capture the cars driving by and the various street signs and other items that catch my eye, such as business signs, mailboxes, anything else that I feel looks interesting. You really need to think things out a bit when shooting street. And the GFX 50R lends itself well to this style of shooting, as the camera is not built for speed. Medium format cameras are made for slow, well-planned out shots, and they render insane detail in dynamic range with their high megapixel sensors. Now, I'm going to take a break right here, and then I'll be right back. We hope you're enjoying this edition of the Liam Photography Podcast. You can visit the homepage at liamphotographypodcast.com for show notes and links. If you have questions, comments, or requests for topics or future guests you'd like to hear on the show, you can email me at liam@liamphotographypodcast.com. Also, be sure to check out the liamphotographypodcast.com Facebook group, and you can find me on Twitter at liamphotoATL. You can tweet the show, just insert the hashtag Liam Photo Podcast. And now back to the show. All right, so continuing on, it always kills me when people whine on photography forums or Facebook groups about how slow medium format cameras are. Apparently, they don't have the brains to realize that medium format is made for landscapes and studio work, and in my case, street photography as well. If you want to shoot fast action, then buy a camera that's made for that. If you're in the Fujifilm world like I am, then get the flagship X-H2 or X-H2S, which are hybrid shooters and built for high-end video and super fast action stills photography. If you're in the world of Canon, get the R5 or R6 or even the R3 if you can afford it, and you have the need for insane speed. For Nikon's part, they have the Z9 and the Z8, which can do all of the sports shooting. And Sony has the A1 and the A9 III, which are also made for fast action photography. But be realistic about photography and what each tool is made for. Instead of crying because you want to use medium format, but it's not fast enough to shoot NFL football, look realistically at all of the medium format cameras that are on the market today. You have the Fujifilm GFX line, you have the Pentax 645 and DSLR, you have Hasselblad and Phase 1 as well. And what do they all have in common? High resolution sensors with wide dynamic range for maximum detail. And what do they all not have? High frames per second, as that is not what the cameras are made for. If you want to shoot medium or even large format, you have to realize that whether digital or film, these cameras are built for the slow, methodical approach to photography. They are not made to capture thousands of shots per minute, but rather they are made to capture photos that matter. It never hurts to spend some time shooting in a more purposeful and meaningful way. So if you are someone who shoots sports and you want to practice slowing down your approach to photography, which is something I recommend everyone try, then just rent a medium format system from any of the number of camera companies that rent them out. Shooting spray and pray all the time is not a good way to develop your skills as a photographer. Instead, go back to the basics and use a slower system like medium format and practice your fundamentals, and you'll be a much better photographer in the long run. Now, I also recommend that everyone using a camera use manual mode and work on your skills as often as you can. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with using aperture or shutter priority if you are shooting your bread and butter photography to make a living. But it's also good to take time during your free time and practice using and becoming proficient with manual mode. Manual mode will help you become more familiar with your exposure triangle and how to balance ISO, aperture, and shutter speed to get the best results every time you press that shutter button. I know there are lots of photographers out there making good money that have no clue how to use manual mode. But as a professional, shouldn't you learn your tools inside and out? The key to mastering your craft is mastering your tools for that craft, and you will only become a better and better photographer by spending the time to learn your camera inside and out and to learn your exposure triangle. Now, I would also challenge you to master your lighting, as light is the primary ingredient in photography. And you don't want to limit yourself to only shooting outdoors when the light is good. You want to learn how to use artificial lighting as well, so that when the light outside is not good, or when you need to shoot indoors, such as in the studio, you have the knowledge and expertise to handle any situation. And with today's modern LED lighting technology, you no longer need to use lights with incandescent bulbs that get hot and make your subject uncomfortable due to the heat output. Now, you can not only use LED mono lights, but also LED continuous lights. So get some and practice your lighting skills as well. If you have a limited budget or you're a student and you're just getting started in photography, there are plenty of ways you can get inexpensive lights. For continuous lights, go to your local hardware store and get some basic inexpensive fixtures like heat lamp fixtures and put some 5600 Kelvin LED bulbs in them. They might not have the mounts for light stands, but they do offer high-strength clamp mounts on them so that you can use them to make do. For inexpensive mono lights, look to Godox or Flashpoint, which are Godox lights sold under Adorama. Godox makes some wonderful lights for a lot less money than many of the other brands on the market charge today. And LED panel lights are also a good option for low-cost lighting to practice and enhance your lighting skills. Remember to check out the Liam Photography Podcast Facebook group. It is a private group, and you must answer a security question to join, which is the name of the host of the show, myself, Liam. And I've also opened it up to allow you to give the name of a previous guest on the show to show that you are a listener. Once you are in the group, you are free to post your own original work. I'm also the admin of the Fujifilm GFX 50R group, which is the largest group for the 50R on Facebook. If you own or plan to own the 50R, you can request to join that group, but you do have to answer two security questions to join that group. You can find my work at liamphotography.net and follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at liamphotoATL. If you like abandoned buildings and history, you can find my projects at forgottenpiecesofgeorgia.com and forgottenpiecesofpennsylvania.com. All right, that's going to wrap up episode 393 of the Liam Photography Podcast. I want to thank all of my listeners once again for subscribing, rating, and reviewing on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you might be getting your podcast. Also wanted to remind you to stop by the Liam Photography YouTube channel, subscribe to the channel, turn on all notifications so you don't miss any new content when it releases, and also share the channel out on social media and elsewhere and help get the word out about my photography YouTube channel as well as this podcast show. It would be greatly appreciated. Now, if you're not currently a subscriber to either one, why not? It's absolutely free. It doesn't cost you anything but a second of your time to click that like button and subscribe button. So quick and simple, nothing major that you have to do on your part, nothing strenuous at all. Now, as I said earlier in the show, make sure you stop by the YouTube channel this Sunday to see my latest video, which is an unboxing review of that GF 45mm 2.8 lens and also my street photography on steroids, which was the topic of today's show. Again, I will have some of my sample images from this past weekend's outing in the show notes for today's episode so that you can check them out at your leisure. All right, everybody, that's it for this one. I will see you again next Thursday. We'll be right back.